This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 for now, but not much longer, and we're not on that right now. We're on the stream at freakradio.org. You're coming to you live on, what's this, October 25th, 2011. We've got Dennis and Erica here from the Occupy Santa Cruz movement, and we're going to be talking about that. Okay, so, Dennis, you're on a lot of committees there.
Oh, yeah.
What committees are you on?
I'm on the process committee. I'm also on the police delegate committee. Ooh. I'm also on direct action committee, and I'm also on part of the security team for Occupy Santa Cruz.
Okay, now in a process deals with the how they do their voting and everything and the rules that they operate there. And I didn't know there was a police delicacy committee. What's that? Liaison
well,
or what is
well, they just needed a stooge, somebody who would actually physically talk to the police every time the police made an appearance there and legal kind of...
Steve was doing some of that, right?
Yeah, Steve was doing that, and he was kind of like, well... Dennis is one of the police delegates. I was like, wow, okay, that's news to me, but so
after
be
we
it.
Talked to one once, they like were very fast to tag that on to him.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, nobody else.
Everyone's you running up thanking him.
Yeah, I went to the direct action meeting. It was right after they got their, they wanted to give the certificate to the police, you know, for being so cool or something. That got blocked in the assembly by Wes and I and some other people. And I went to the meeting and they were still, we got to do outreach to the police, got to bring him in here. I go, well, this is direct action. We're supposed to be out there getting the banks. Why aren't we getting the fucking banks, you know? And they go, well, you know, we believe in being nice to everybody. We can bring, they're still part of the 99% too. We can bring them in. And I'm just, they were going on and on. So eventually I said, you know, well, why don't we invite them to the protest then? They go, that's a great idea. And I'm just going, well, I go, well, if you guys like the police so much, why don't you become police liaisons? They're looking for them at night. And they go, oh, no, nobody want to do that.
No. And then I was like, well, why are we even going to send a thank you note or anything to the police? I mean, that's just inviting trouble.
Yeah, because it's kind of insulting, you know. Thank you for not busting us and not doing your job, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they were thinking ahead on that.
Before we go any further, I do want to give a loud shout out to all the fellow occupiers, not only in Santa Cruz, but... Hopefully they're catching us from all over the world.
You can. This is streaming, right, so anybody can
on.
Tune in. We
Occupy,
do get people
baby.
From like LA. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Occupy. And also, if there's any Oakland listeners, man, our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts are with all of you guys that you're in a 700-member standoff of the Oakland police right now. Way to go, man. Don't move. Do not move. Wow, man, that's really such a travesty when you think about it. You got 700 peaceful demonstrators, and they're all, you know, they're occupying, and they're trying to do some good, and then you've got the cops that are calling in cop cars from 10 other counties, and they're just like, let's get the bad guys, you know, and they're wasting valuable human resources, they're wasting vehicles, they're wasting fuel, and more importantly, they're wasting the 99% taxpaying dollars.
Oh, well,
just arrest these people.
And that's just the police. Wait till you guys get to the court. I mean, they wasted a ton of money on trials for the peace campers last year. They have, you know, because it's not really wasted money. It's actually going to them, and that's all they care about is that they get money, you know.
And what does it look like when that many police are coming up to rush nonviolent protesters, many of whom are camping out with their children and spouses?
Oh, yeah, that's... It's gutsy there, cops. Gutsy.
You know, that there isn't a lot of children at this peace camp because a lot of people are kind of afraid the location at the San Lorenzo Park. You know, a lot of junkies and tweakers in there. And you're on camp security. What's it like? And you, Erica, you're living in the camp.
Yeah, I'm on the camping committee.
So how is that dated? I heard there was like a potential stabbing or something like that, a threatened stabbing, but then the guy ran away and...
Yeah, I mean, we've got a really great security team put together as far as keeping all the campers there at Occupy safe. we got all these camp rules that we go through, like no violence, no drugs, no alcohol, and
no stealing, and no disrupting. Probably is one of them. And
if you're gonna be there, plain and simple, help out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everyone contribute. These are very similar to Dignity Village, which they have for the homeless up in Portland, where they kind of been occupying it, but at the behest of the government, finally backed down and gave them. But it's only 660 people, whereas you almost have that right now at San Lorenzo, right?
I'd yeah, say it's about 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty close to it. And it's so funny how right now we've got the police that are trying to dictate to us our boundary lines.
They're starting to get nervous.
When the, I guess when the Sentinel brought out that article over the weekend about how we wouldn't let the kids play soccer. Well,
I saw them playing there today or yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a flag football team that plays there.
Okay. Oh, the flag football teams, but the soccer kids are too scared on the weekends.
Right. But it's funny because like 80% of us, the people that were actively part of occupation, moved their tents. And then the soccer team complained to the newspaper that they were afraid to ask us to move. And then 2 days later, we got a thank you for moving our tents, but we had already moved them.
Well, there was a Sentinel reporting, you know. They're on a low budget these days. You know, they had to move out of town. They don't even have an office here. They're up in Scotts Valley.
We just left the City Hall meeting at Santa Cruz, and they're big issues are spending $50,000 on to revitalize this golf course.
The one there, they own like 2.5. They've already dumped $2.5 million. The one up on De La Viega. And the only reason they're keeping it open is so they can play golf. You know, it's still too expensive for regular folks.
Right.
You know, it's more on the weekends than a regular person can play.
One guy asked, he said, honestly, who in here is a golfer? And the mayor and like four guys in ties and black slacks raised their hands.
That's exactly why I said I knew it.
You got five people in the middle of a city council meeting and they're the only ones that play golf.
Yeah, because these are just the well-to-do, you know, on our tax dollars, but the really rich people can, you know, afford Pasatiempo golf course or go to Monterey or something. But this is just a municipal course for the well-to-do government workers that want to, you know, they probably get a discount too. And there's some government jobs up there. They're way overpaid. They should just lease that out to a private company.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be losing money every year or not. I mean, that's like $500,000 a year, and they can't afford $30,000 for a swimming pool for the kids at Harvey West. You know, the priorities in this town are just, you know, all for the 1% or, you know, the 1.5%.
Oh, yeah, and then you got the local business owners downtown that want to turn Pacific Avenue, which is currently a one-way street, into a two-way street. And what killed me was they made the proposal. They said, we propose that we spend $20,000 to turn it into a two-way street, and if we're wrong about it, we'll spend another $20,000 to put it back the way it was. And I'm like, there's $90,000 that they could be using to build that community swimming pool or
something useful to real
supplement the teachers or the home health care workers that are actually taking a pay cut. The county's making local home healthcare workers take this pay cut, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Now, there's going to be some solidarity with the occupiers in this. They're going to have a strike, or they're not.
Oh,
they're going to have a protest or something are coming up. When is that? Do you know the details?
Actually, we've got a lot of protests coming up.
I mean, the one with the support the home healthcare worker union.
Oh, we did that this morning.
Oh, that was this morning.
Yeah. That was this morning. That was great.
Yeah.
We did a demonstration in front of the courthouse on the other steps in front of the parking lot.
Yeah, the government one.
Yeah,
or maybe the court ones.
We had the union of the home health care workers with us. We had big shout out to Union 5-1. You know, they were there. We had a lot of the Spanish community there, too. And, you know, it was just really a great moment for about an hour or so. We're picketing. We're making so much noise. The sheriff comes out and tells us to be quiet. And no, Bill, the spokesperson for the home health care workers, he just kept going with the noise. It's like the sheriff didn't even exist.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a petition out to recall the sheriff from the smart meter people. We might want to start passing that around at Occupy the minute the sheriffs get on our case. You know, I heard there is one, you know, I heard that they were, somebody came and took names of people two or three nights ago that were sleeping on the steps in the county.
Yeah, the sheriff's department did. They came and they rousted us up and they were like, "We want your names, and we're going to give you this warning not to sleep on the steps, because if you don't move, we're going to write you a ticket." Mm-hmm. Although I have to incur, and I must say this, even though I am total anarchist, the sheriff's department has actually been the coolest with us. It's the police department I don't trust in this issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the police are usually worse, but the county's the one that hits you with the 647Es, the misdemeanor, because they don't have any other law. The city has, you know, an infraction law they can hit you with, and then they don't have to give you a jury trial, and it's just a ticket. And that's usually what they use against the homeless. But last year, because they didn't have anything for the county building, they found this old 647E state law, and that's what they hit. Like, my brother's looking at half a year in jail, and Ed Fry, too.
Yeah, half a year. Yeah. That's insane.
That's just crazy.
Well, that's all. I mean, they offered him 3 years probation, 400 hours work, and my brother and Ed said, "We're not going to be your slaves," you know? So the judge said, "Okay, fine, you're going to jail."
See, that's why we need to take back America. The corporations have been in the politicians' pockets way too long, and
vice
it's
versa.
Time for us to take back America.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, that's fascism, when the government and the business are working together like they do down on Pacific with all those. It's a minefield of laws down there. If you're from out of town, you step on a planter, $250. Sit down, $250. You know. Now, they let you bring dogs now, but, you know, you better not panhandle while you have a dog, $250, you know.
Oh, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I mean, it was strange, because when they showed up today at our camp, they were like, we didn't issue any sleeping ban citations. We did get a guy for riding his bicycle on the grass. And we got another guy for open flame. And
he was making coffee, right?
Yeah, making coffee. We just started all cracking up laughing. I mean, but...
Does that apply to lighters, too?
Yeah, I want to ask
that. Actually.
But it was
heard it does.
Yeah, because you can't smoke in the park at all, either.
No, and the funniest thing was, just while I'm talking to the cops today, I'm smoking a cigarette right in front of them. And he found me towards the end of the conversation, and right when I had gotten through with the cigarette, he goes, you know there's not supposed to be smoking in the park. And I'm like, oh, really? Oops. My bad.
Oh, man. You know, and there's also, I mean, this is a huge, well, there's 60 people, and there's like 60, 70 people on the steps every night at 6, except Sundays when they do it in the afternoon, and 2. That there's a huge logistical thing here, and yet when it comes to, like we said about direct action, somebody's blocking, when it comes to actually going after the banks, it's just, and one day, it was just Dennis.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I was just laughing. I mean, it's like, I've heard of 9-to-1, you know, in a modern warfare, of, you know, all the supplies and support for the people fighting, but I hadn't heard of 99-to-1. And then the next day you took off, you know. So it's like nobody was protesting.
Here's a really huge tip for all you, for all the occupiers out there. Listen, I've learned that all you need to do is show up in front of a bank, one person, one sign.
They'll lock the
door. And they freaking lock the doors, and like security will run in there. And the cops will not do anything to you as long as
you're on the sidewalk.
You're staying on the sidewalk and you're not blocking the door.
It's a public forum, you know, recognized. Yeah, you have freedom of speech. There's nothing to, you know, when I heard they were locking the doors, I go, that's why I went to direction. We should send 5 people to each bank in town. We could shut all the banks down in town, you know. No, we'll do that later. We'll table it. You know, November 5th, maybe we're going to do something against the... Come on, we should be doing stuff like you're doing every day against the banks.
We're doing demonstration marches. I mean, it makes totally perfect sense to me, you know. If we've already marched on the banks and like 200-300 people like we did last weekend, we should keep up the pressure on the banks.
Absolutely, at the banks, because... Also, I'm in legal, and I was looking up some stuff about, you know, cities and all that, and the banks... actually are taxed at the state level, not at the city level.
Yeah.
So it's or county. So neither the city or the county really care all that much if we shut down a bank. If we shut down Pacific, the city will get very upset. You know, if we mess
that's
with the...
what we need to do.
Well, I mean, when they start... well, they're already starting a ticket now, so now's the time to start going after the city. You know, I heard some people were doing soap bubbles and chalking. I think there were some people from out of town that heard that, what, that's illegal in this town? So they just did it as a low level of direct action outside the GA. It has nothing to do with the GA. GA doesn't even know about it.
Now, when we talk about going after banks, we're not talking about any of the local banks. We're talking about all the corporate big dogs. We're talking Bank of America. We're talking about Chase Bank. We're talking about Wells Fargo.
There are local branches here. Because we don't have a corporate finance. This Santa Cruz small town, we don't have that. But we do have the banks are a legitimate or the foreclosures that they do on the county steps. The county might get upset when we start going after the foreclosures thing. I'm just thinking we should have targets ready that cost the county money or cost the city money, the minute the police start hassling us, then we start striking back
absolutely
at their pocketbook.
That's what we need to be doing.
It's not happening in direct action. In fact, direct action even changed their name to tactics because they don't really do direct action.
Well, no, they've actually got some really great plans coming up. I'm not going to reveal too much, but the downtown area is not the only place that we've targeted. We've got some other spots, juicy spots, that we've really targeted, and we've all been planning something on, but I'm not going to say any more about it right now. I'm just going to say keep watching the news and watch what happens next.
But, you know, the cops can just send an informer into the GA or the subcommittee.
Yeah.
They can find out, and they can block, too, so it's... The consensus thing is vulnerable to infiltration.
Yeah, but, you know, there's one thing I really like about the group is even though it operates off consensus, you know, we can't take autonomous action, which is
that's what
it
comes
do
down to. The minute the consensus blocks it, okay, well, we're going autonomous. In fact, I heard some of the philosophy and strategy group, you know, they were trying to come up with a mission statement or something, and they just got so embarrassed in front of the rest of the GA that their groups is not meeting anymore, and I heard somebody say, we've all decided to go autonomous.
Yeah, they said that, and now they have a mission statement group, which is made up of like 50% of the same people. They discuss the philosophy behind a mission statement.
Well, I mean, I'm in the mission because Ed kind of, you know, because he wants to do his full spectrum democracy stuff, so he kind of split off, and I've been going to there just to support Ed, but then I'm trying to get it more with the facilitator there. Because some of these meetings, there is no, like in direction, there's no facilitator. They just do it, and then, you know, if they don't like it, they table it. So I think the more important thing than the consensus in these meetings are the neutral facilitators and the stack and all that to allow everybody to talk
and
keep things moving forward without a personal agenda of their own. Because usually a meeting, whoever's the loudest talker or the most domineering ends up running them, and everybody just kind of falls behind us. But with this facilitator, there's another pull. You know, somebody's trying to push their agenda, but the facilitator is trying to get hear from everybody, and I think it makes much better meetings.
Well, I like that we've all had facilitator training, and I've been through the workshop. I can actually facilitate, but what we all agreed to do pretty much is keep revolving the facilitator so that there's a fresh face and there's always, you know, a fresh facilitator, even two of them. But we recently took it to a vote, and now we have two co-facilitators along with one facilitator. We have two stackers, we have a vibes watch, and we also have a timekeeper, although it was funny last night when the timekeeper got up and left in the building.
I gotta go, I'm late.
Well, the mission statement group now has came up with a rule that they're going to do a 7-sentence mission statement, which I think will help them do it faster.
I hope I was pushing that. I mean, I don't care if they get one or not, but you know, if it's gonna, it should be short so people can be able to say it to somebody. This is what we're about. Because some people are bringing in these long, you know,
it's like
pages
after
and stuff.
10 sentences. What do you talk about? It just gets weird. Really personal. Like,
well,
there's nothing more to say.
Well, everybody has their own little thing that they're for, and everybody's is different. So all of a sudden, if you put them all in, it's going to get huge. So,
you know, the old philosophy group, they we kind of crashed one of their meetings just to see what was up, what was going on.
Was that the one at the alley? Was like 26 people?
Yeah, and they were like, "Well, we had known this many were coming, we wouldn't have, you know, asked for this room here at the Teapot House." And you know, it's their mission statement or what they were proposing had absolutely nothing to do with Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Santa Cruz.
There were two mission statements. One made sense. It was written like a mission statement, and the other one was
babbling bullshit.
It was like a, somebody's spiritual beliefs.
That's what the core values. And, that's what I was saying. Everybody's coming to this group now is my megaphone to get my message out to all the other Occupy, and it doesn't work that way. Consensus stops that stuff. People try and hijack the main meeting, and they don't. But I do think they need more facilitators into the small meetings.
Oh,
you should send them out or something to make those a little better. Because that's the sticking point around now is the small meetings don't really function. Like, legal never even meets, you know. And philosophy and strategy stop meetings kind of turned into the mission statement. That's just got a few more days to meet.
Yeah, we'll get it together eventually.
I mean, it's working all right. I mean, I'm not really a big fan of consensus, but I see where it's working. And
I'm actually a fan of it. I think it's a very good process because, you know, I'm not an official representative. I'm just a member of Occupy Santa Cruz, but
there is no official representative.
There is. No, it's many people, voice. We're the 99%. And that's a philosophy that we all live by. And it's not just during a GA meeting. I mean, when I went out with a group before, when they were helping me pick a Bank of America or the Wells Fargo, I said, hey, we need a consensus. Is it worth sticking around or we want to move to another bank? And we were like, hey, let's move to another bank, you know, and it kind of flowed nicely. Although, my last bank story for you and for the audience is...
This is the Bank of America?
The Bank of America.
Which has a sidewalk right there, so they can't get rid of it. Unlike Wells Fargo or Chase, where they're, you know, the doors are actually deeply in their own property, so you can't be at the door. You got to stand on it. But B of A, the door's right there on a sidewalk in a public forum, and...
So I got the security guard, and they're, like, making fun of me.
You were there just one at first, right?
Yeah, it was just me. I was there by myself. The security guard, he's a plainclothes security guard, and this is the one right on Water Street.
Yeah.
Just before you go over the bridge, and you see the courthouse and where our camp's located at. He's making fun of me, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to put my sign down. I'll be right back. And I told him, I said, don't get too comfortable. I'll be right back. So I came back with 600 people, and suddenly he wasn't laughing and snickering. In fact, he was trying to get the doors open so he couldn't get inside quick enough.
Then one guy walking by, he was at first making fun of our signs. He didn't know who we were.
Yeah.
And he was walking with his friend, and then all of a sudden he saw Bank of America written on his sign, and he went, oh, Bank of America, And he planted himself in front of the ATM machine with his arms
autonomously
leaning against it.
He's blocking anybody from it. I remember Gary was there, too, and he was telling me, people were telling him, hey, don't block it, and he just wouldn't listen to anybody. And then I think he broke it or something.
He went by later, and they had a big white sign, pasted across it.
To the people
outside.
So you guys left because property damage is verboten, basically, according to was the thing that did come out of philosophy
and
strategy.
Someone saw him running down the street.
And then I heard he just ran over the bridge after everybody left. Uh-oh, I have no cover. I'm going to get out of here.
So what's really cool, though, is the support we're getting from the community.
Oh, yeah. When you were out protesting at the bank, somebody delivered six pizzas or something because they'd seen you out there and their support. The banks are the legitimate target. We should be going after because everybody's pissed at the banks. You know, they're in debt to them. They've lost their homes to them. You know, and they're paying huge interest rates. You lose your job and they jack your interest rate on your credit card, you know, because they think you're not going to get paid back, so now we can charge you more. You know, it's ridiculous. When you can least afford it, they fucking hit you.
Well, backed by the Federal Reserve, you know, that's what's bailing them out. And
That's what's bailing them out.
That's what's causing the Federal Reserve, what they're doing is what's causing all the foreclosures, you know. It's like a chain reaction. Well, they're at the top. They have the power. They're the 1%.
Well, not only that, I mean, you think of banks like Bank of America who just dumped $7 trillion
$75 trillion.
$75 trillion
of a derivative position. It's probably hedged on both sides. You can't get that big a position if you're just taking one way. So, but they're trying to make a little bit in between. You know, that's why that 1/10 of 1% on every financial trade would stop a lot of this shit and would produce $1 trillion in revenue every year for the federal government. So yeah, they just dumped that ahead of every onto the customer side of the bank now. So that now that side. If there's any trouble with that trade, they get paid off first before any of the other customers get paid off if the bank goes under.
Yeah.
By the FDIC.
And, you know, and sitting there talking about a single person picketing a bank, I've called Bank of America, and I admit this over the open air, I've called Bank of America, I would say, between one and three customers every time I picket. And I'm just like, yeah!
Yeah, that you know, I think we're starting to finally attempt at getting even with all that they've cost us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Money disappearing out of accounts.
Oh, that happened. Somebody put in their wrong money into my account. It was like $900 bucks. I go, that's not mine. And they go, oh, okay, we'll take it out. And I go, well, are you going to give it back to the person? And they go, no, he has to complain. I go, what the hell? I shouldn't have said anything. Leave it in my account. Why should you get it, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking, that's B of A, you know.
Yeah.
Any way they can make money, you know, off their customers, they fuck them.
So, getting to some really excellent news, we have Elia Reinstein, and she is actually on SpiralTV.com. She is actually, she's a producer for the company, and they are gearing up production for a major full-length movie on human rights, and they're going to use Occupy as one of the main themes. And they're starting off in Santa Cruz, and they want to end up in New York, and I was just like, yeah!
When are they going to come by?
They actually came by yesterday.
Were they filming, or when did they start filming?
She filmed me for about 10 or 15 minutes, and she said she was coming back. They had to leave and go away for a week, but she'd come back, and she wanted to film some other people, and she said that she was just totally stoked about us occupying Santa Cruz, and she was just like, you guys have dug in, and we've been there for like 21, 22 days now, and we're not going anywhere. You know,
I'm thinking here when it gets into the winter, I think these Occupies, the ones that are going to continue on, and people are going to be looking around. It's getting pretty cold, you know, up in Chicago or Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go, well, we should go to L.A., Florida, or Santa Cruz. You know, yeah. It's nice. Our movement could grow big time.
Yeah, and I think with the right kind of support, our movement will grow. I mean, and I don't mean just, you know, I'm not talking about people support. I'm talking like, it takes a, I've learned one thing since I've been with Occupy Santa Cruz. It takes a lot of supplies to keep something like this going. And, you know, we've had some donations here and there, but we could always use more donations and more supplies. Like, we're in need of tents, tarps. You know, water, food is always a constant thing for us. But, you know, the people are reaching out to us. We've got a local sign company here in town that are actually going to donate some signs to us.
Huge tarps, yeah, I heard.
Yeah, signs, huge tarps, so that we're not having to fly cardboard. And maybe that guy did jacked up 4x4 that keeps going by the courthouse or quit screaming, clean up the trash. We get a job.
You know, I did, I mean, when I first started going, I was tracking the amount of support. I mean, I count the number of cars that went by and then how many honked in support. And it was about 10 to 15%, and maybe like one out of 300. I didn't really count. There would be a negative. So the people for the Occupy vastly outnumber the people that are against it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when we went marching down Pacific Avenue, you should have seen like everybody just stopped and was like smiling, giving us thumbs up, putting their fists in the air, you know, just... I saw some people that were like tearing up right when this was first starting. They were moved that people were finally taking action.
Yeah, this is the biggest thing I've seen since the end of the Vietnam War. I mean, the left really hasn't had many successes since then.
We've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people that were protesting back then that have offered some insight. One thing they say that's really helped it grow very fast is the nonviolence, because making it appeal to everybody.
Hurts you. I mean, if they send, the other side sends agent provocateurs in to get you to create violence to you know, make the public go against you, and then allows them to arrest you for long charges, and all the leaders get jailed and everything, and that's how they bust movements with this. You really should never use violence.
No. In fact, we've got a bondsman who's kind of on our side right now. He told us, he said, you know, I support you guys 100%, but just don't break any shit.
That's right.
Right on.
But then there comes the problem with security. You're on security. What about these tweakers? How do you get rid of them? Do you have to slap them around? What's the story? Or should we not talk about that?
Oh, we can talk about it. I mean, this is pirate fucking radio.
One thing that works on the ones that are less violent, like the women, for instance, that just want to come up and, like, grab stuff and run off with it, and bitch slap someone, is if everybody gets together in a group and starts walking towards them and just kind of walks them, away.
Herding the tweaker.
What'd you call it? Burning them?
Herding
the tweakers. To the other side of the park.
But it's great, I mean, because it really doesn't promote any violence, and then the person who's causing the disturbance looks up and goes, holy hell, there's 15 people telling me I gotta go.
Lots of witnesses, so yeah, because when they were passing one amendment to be quiet on the steps after 10, and then we're going to enforce it at 12, so I blocked it. What do you mean we're going to enforce? They didn't describe what enforcing meant. You know?
Yeah.
But then somebody told me later they just recommend you to be quiet. A bunch of people curved around and recommended, would you please be quiet now?
Well, you know, the hardest thing about starting an anarchist community is just getting people to follow the rules.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I mean, people in the regular society think that anarchism is just this, there are no rules and anything can happen, but all the anarchists I know are always making up rules because they have these consensus governments going on, and that's what...
It's like egalitarian.
Yeah, that's what they do. Meetings like that... Rules get passed. Free radio's got a whole bunch of rules that are all passed through anarchistic meeting. And I mean, it's the same thing in our representational government. They have little meetings where they pass rules, and then the legislature votes on it. Very similar,
based on respect and human understanding, instead of just wanting to be authoritarian and passing laws that you get brutally punished if you break one. You know, this is so much more about respect and the good of everybody involved.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, like, the Commander X is there. He's looking at 15 years for just clicking on a website a few million times more than he was supposed to. He didn't really hurt anybody. I mean, if he did, there's evidence that says he didn't do it. So at most, it was somebody had to wait a half hour. How many times have you had to wait a half hour while the government made you wait? How come they're not looking at 15 years in jail? It's just ridiculous to have this huge punishment for such a small crime.
You know, if you ever met him in person, you'd never guess he does the things he does. But you know,
we know Chris a long time.
One of our. He's actually one of our strongest supporters right now.
Oh, he's great. He's a smart guy. I mean, he's very good with the media. He really hasn't been a leash yet on the media yet for your guys. Because he can get the reporters there, like,
we had a taste
swarming
of that
on
you. We got a message from city council. One of the city council members came down and said that something about us being there, so... Here we go. We're all dropping off. Commander X is leading us down there, you know? And, first, it was like rights of like the Native American rights, and they were wanting to take away their land, and we didn't even know it. We just all started speaking up for them, and they consented to the United Nations law right there. They voted on it right there in front of us at City Council, and they agreed basically to let them have their land. And
is this the Ohlone up on the Knoll?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So there was a success. I heard that was going to succeed. I was figuring they're going to win there because they're pretty right wing, but they they claim they're liberal in our city council, so this is exactly the kind of issue where they have to cave on, because it isn't that much money. They can just give the developers some other cut some deal with them somewhere else. So it's very easy for them to grant that reform, so I figured they would.
Hopefully they'll actually put it into action, and what one
I think
will actually want to talk with them before they do these things, instead of just kind of going through and then seeing what their response is. Hopefully they'll come to come to the tribe and ask them first. You do have to keep.
I mean, first they grant you the reform, and then they don't always give it to you. But you do have to make sure that they grant that they actually, and the reform is useful to you and stuff like that. You have to keep the feet to the fire the whole way through.
Oh yeah, and I'm pleased to announce for all the occupiers that might be listening, Santa Cruz is officially, the City Council of Santa Cruz today officially met majority of the members of Occupy Santa Cruz, because whether we wanted to be there or not, and we really weren't sure why we were there, when it came time for open forum, we let them have it.
I heard there's some great speeches.
It was absolutely wonderful. We took over. It was great. It was a bunch of occupiers spoke. Somebody that was supporting us but hadn't done been involved yet spoke, and then there was two women from Oakland that spoke.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I really think that our other group members really did an awesome job speaking. And to quote one of them, Noah, he told them that we were going to continue to have open fires and have coffee, all the coffee we wanted in the morning, whether they liked it or not. And we're You know, but diplomacy always has its margin, you know, because the second you try to, like, you go in with this diplomatic attitude, okay, well, look, San Francisco obviously worked out something with Occupy San Francisco. Oakland wasn't very receptive, neither was San Jose. So you got a choice, and we were telling basically City Council, hey, you can treat us like you did and people in Oakland, or you can treat us with respect and dignity like San Francisco chose to, you know, and they didn't have a chance to respond. All they had to do was sit there and listen to us, and we just let them have it one by one for 2 minutes apiece. Bam! There it was, in your face, you know?
Well, I think... I think they want to keep hands off for now, especially because at any time, you know, hundreds can come from the other occupies to Santa Cruz, and then, you know, they're scared that they'll stay because it's nice to live outside here.
Oh yeah.
So they don't want anybody else to find out about that. That's their whole thing about the homeless is, oh, this is a magnet for the homeless. We can't allow. We got to fight them off, you know, tooth and nail.
I don't know if they're hoping to dilute our populations or what, but they're. Even though they aren't doing anything, they're constantly trying to make us nervous. They're taking lots of pictures, and they're telling us, oh, well, there's a high possibility of a raid in the next night or two.
And then they don't do it.
And then they don't do it.
Well, you should be taking pictures of them right back.
We are. We're going to. But, you know, it's really a shame when your city council is more or less interested in making the city all pretty and sparkly and not really caring or giving a damn about the people in the city.
Yeah.
And that's... Like,
they want to move them out. I mean, they want to... The working class have been squeezed so hard. You're either working three jobs or you don't live here anymore.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. My favorite protest sign is the one that I wrote up, and I said, democracy is not the blue-collar worker paying for white-collar luxury. You know? And it's not. I mean...
Love that sign.
Like I said, it's time for America to wake up, speak up, stand up, and speak out, and really take back America.
Take back the land. Well, this is the Free the Land show, that you're actually, you know, doing what I believe in, you know, just grab that land. It belongs to you. You have a birthright.
Absolutely.
It's a lonely land. It was stolen from them. Well, you know, why should the thieves get to use it, and you can't even sleep there, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, since when those corporations... You know, there wasn't a corporation that started in America, man. It was a bunch of pissed off pilgrims and three boats, and they said, you know what? Forget you, King. We're going to go start our own colony, you know? And they did that. They said, fuck you. You know, and that's what we need to do. And, you know, charging us inciting riots right now, but the longer we wait to stand up and speak up for ourselves, the less freedom we're going to have. They're going to crack down. Oh, yeah. I believe that the United States is slowly heading into a military police state.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's all based on fascism.
That's right.
You know, and capitalism. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the human rights. It has nothing to do with human values. Mm-hmm. You know, and enough's a fucking enough, man. Grab a piece of land, plant your ass in your city, and stay there, and fucking fight them back, man. That's what I say. Hell yeah.
Well said. And it's 99% of us. If everybody stands up, then we've won.
Uh-huh. And well, to me, this is just the first stage. Like I said, nothing like this has happened since the late mid-70s, really, as far as I can remember. And these people are just relearning the techniques and how to fight back and occupy. I suggest not always standing your ground, but being a gorilla and move. You know, when they're hassling you in one spot, things can be going to other spots.
I mean, we've got some pretty good ideas of what we can do. You know. But, you know, we're not just talking about people in Santa Cruz. We're talking about people in the Santa Cruz area, other surrounding counties. Like, we had two ladies that came in from Wellington the other day, and they're like, hey, give us some of those Occupy flyers. We'll pass them out for you. And I'm like, right on, sis. Here you go, you know.
Is this Wellington? That's not the company, Wellington.
No. It's a town in the mountains. And They're just, like, so wanting to get involved with things.
Well, yeah, that's another thing now. With all these Occupies all over the country, you've essentially got a free hostel that you could stay at. You could start traveling, you know, indefinitely. And you have a free place to stay. There's often food in them, too.
And it even helps people share ideas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Share strengths from different parts of the country.
That's exactly. And when you do share ideas, that's where people tend to be more liberal, like in port cities where there's an influx of ideas and people from all over the place, whereas, you know, way back in a rural area where you hardly ever see any people are more backwards in their thinking generally.
Yeah, I don't think city council realizes that we could put a call out and we could probably have 1,000 protesters within a week.
That's why you're not being fucked with. I think they do realize that. That's why they're scared, because they went after us the minute they figured out how to last year.
Yeah.
They're not going after you. I mean, now they're like, the other night, you had like three tickets, and it was all Inouye, I heard.
It was all stupid.
But it was one cop, Inouye. He's also, I read, you know, a few months back, he shot some guy's dog, some 75-pound Rottweiler that he claimed was coming at him. You know, so he's a dog killer, essentially. That's the guy who wrote you tickets last night.
Well, they also told him that he's a liar, too. And
well, I mean, that's all cops. Come on, they're always committing perjury to make a good case, you know. They're never going to get busted for it. The DA never heard. When have you ever heard a cop being, you know, harassed for perjury by the
DA? No.
Never.
But you know what, man? I think it's really fucking shame that they're trying to pin us all down and like the north side corner of San Lorenzo Park, and you know, we might be 47-60 campers there now, but I know that maybe even after this broadcast or in the next few days, people are going to say, you know what, they're right, piss on this, let's go join them, and they're not going to be able to contain the movement.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to contain us, and we're not going anywhere, and that's the message that we want to get out and we want to make known, is that we're here, we're standing up, we're in your face, now do something about it, you know.
Well, I heard there was a proposal at the meeting, we had to leave early to come to the show, to actually that they're planning, some groups want to come up Saturday from the lower city-owned property onto the county steps and create a camp there. And there's really not enough room. And we had another guest that was going to be on. He was quite upset about that. He thought that would ruin the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I have to agree with them. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I do too, yeah.
We've got Occupy of some city ground, and we've got occupancy right now of some county ground. And we need to stay that way.
Mm-hmm. The protest on the county ground is relatively legal, except for a few people that sleep on the steps at night to watch the stuff. But because if they did bust the whole camp, you could still stay on the steps with the public meetings and stuff until they came up with a new law or something, maybe a no trespass. Oh, yeah. That's what they do at the City Hall last year. They immediately came up with all these new laws. Every time the campers found a legal place to sleep, they made that area a no trespassing area or closed after 10. Or, you know, the city's much quicker at fucking with the protest. Probably unconstitutional, but who's got enough the lawyers to, you know, challenge it?
It is. I say damn the sleep ban, but they need to... We need to write them tickets. We need to write them up. We need to go protest in front of their offices.
Absolutely. Well, that's where the video cameras come in. You catch them doing that stuff. That's great evidence in court. Always put a time stamp on it, and that's how you. And then when you win in court, you know, it's like somebody gets up to $1 million for a year in jail. So that's like $2,000-$3,000 a night if you get arrested illegally that you can collect off them in a lawsuit.
Better yet, let me go protest in their neighborhoods. Let me go stage a full protest in the middle of their neighborhoods right in front of their houses.
There was an interesting, when I was attending the direct action, they were talking about canvassing, you know, with clipboards. Like instead of tabling in front of the B of A, you can just have clipboards, and you're not blocking. They can't get rid of you. You can still you can take those clipboards door to door through all the neighborhoods too, and find out how people feel, and you know maybe get donations, all kinds of. And since it's political, there's nothing they can do to stop you. And I'm hoping something like that will start up soon.
I do too. I mean, because we really like we went down and we canvassed the downtown area, and the downtown area is great, but. And there was actually a lot of businesses that really dug what we were doing, and they welcomed our flyers. And, you know, so Erica and I are walking in the middle of downtown, and we're passing out flyers, and we had a lot of people actually come up and say, man, thanks for doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe we started canvassing door-to-door like that. And the response mm-hmm. would be overwhelming.
And then you could get, I mean, and also bring a little, like, something they can put in their window to support you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first commitment, you know. Maybe they've never done anything political before, but that's, and you could ask them to do that. It's such a simple thing to do, and a lot of them will do it. And once they do that, pretty soon, you know, they start seeing themselves as a political person. They'll commit to more and more and more, and they'll be bringing food down to the camp. I mean, that's how people get involved in a movement, which is just a small bit of commitment.
Right. Yeah, just whatever makes it personal.
Mm-hmm.
What I really like is what Ralph did in camp. He took red face paint, and he put two stripes on the side of her face, which is our war paint. you know, even if people had, like, two red stripes on their car, they wore a red... not really a red bandana. We don't want to do that. If they put, like, you know...
There's some gang kind of activity. I got carded in court because I had a red backpack at a gang hearing.
Yeah. Some kind of, like, two red ribbons or something like that. Something just to symbolize, hey, man, we support you. We're with you, you know? And that would be awesome if we could figure that out.
Like I said, 10 to 15% are honking, and Chris was telling me that the Metro Union's on board, and he says now all the buses honk when they come by. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. It was so funny. Like, our second day there, I was flying a sign, and, you know, the buses weren't even honking, and then I wrote something down about, and I really believe this, you know, and when I say public servants, for those that are out in the audience, I am not talking about the police. I am talking about nurses. I am talking about bus drivers, postal workers. We're talking about the teachers. We're talking about home health care workers. We're talking about the, you know, we're talking about the 99%. We're talking about the people who actually work at the banks.
Yeah,
you know,
work at social
people
services.
Who actually walk around, you know, checking the parking meters, even though I know nobody really likes the meter maids, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm talking about the people who are slowly losing their rights, you know, and that's what we're talking about here, you know, the 99%. Mm-hmm. And for those that are confused out there, we're talking about the 1%, and the 1% make up like they're the elite of the rich, you know, they're
It starts at $300,000 per year.
Yeah.
But that's falling.
The elite of the rich. Just because you're well off and well to do, does not exclude you at all from being part of the 99%. You can still lose your home. You're still standing on very thin ice.
They are losing. Yeah. Everyone on the pyramid is slowly slipping down it. You know, the working class has become homeless. The middle class become the working class. The well-to-do, but now the middle. You know, it's, everybody's hurt except for the people at the very, very, very pinnacle of the pyramid.
Yeah, we're talking about the CEOs and the people that head up the corporations that rub elbows with the politicians and with the cabinet and with the president.
It's conservative economics. Started with Reagan, you know.
Bullshit.
That's and globalization. All those things lead to, well, it's putting everyone out of work. So actually America is producing much less wealth because fewer people are working. People that create the wealth and the natural resources and manufacturing and stuff. And if we're not doing jobs, there's less wealth to go around. And that's why the whole pyramid is sinking into the ground, you know. And financial collapse.
Localization keeps people a lot more independent. When you try to globalize everything, it makes more laws, more regulations. It makes it a lot harder for entrepreneurs even to start their own businesses or people to get creative.
You can't compete with somebody making hardly anything overseas, and the only reason they get paid that much is because they pay almost nothing for land because, you know, they've been socialized for decades and their land prices aren't anything like our land price. Our land prices are fucking ridiculous.
I know, and they don't have the labor laws that we have either.
They can just use them left and right.
They can work somebody 20 hours a day for $2 an hour, you know. And
he's lucky to, or she's lucky to have that job because they also have unemployment over there, too. There's always unemployment. You never have zero unemployment. You know, there's always some unemployment, or our system doesn't work because they have to have somebody they can give your job to if you get too uppity, you know.
Well, I found it very interesting, the fact that I watched this film called The Fed the other day, and it was talking about the Federal Reserve, and, you know, the Federal Reserve is charging interest back to the government for every dollar that the Federal Reserve produces.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap.
Why do they get to do that? They're a private, you know. One of my, I want to get a sign that says nationalize the Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So what the fuck? We got this thing that controls our money supply that isn't even controlled by the people. It's some private bankers.
There are some in control. People forget they are private, you know.
Yeah. All the big bank, all the things. This shit goes back, you know, thousands of years. This is secret societies using banking to deprive people of their property, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're looking back and you're talking about the Rockefeller. You're talking about the Bushes. You're talking about everybody that whenever there was a war, they were also making money off the enemy as well.
I
ask if that's fair. I mean, it's kind of like we've been in this government scandal as far as our money goes, because you got Republicans who seem to screw the economy up really good.
All the time.
Then they throw a Democrat into the office.
To take the blame for it.
To take the blame and to make excuses as to why his hands are tied behind his back and he can't clean this mess up. You know, and then he goes back to a Republican who goes, oh, well, I have the answer. And all of a sudden things get screwed up worse.
Worse again.
You know, and this is the reason why I really don't think America needs a government.
you did say you were an anarchist.
I am an anarchist. I do not.
How long have you been an anarchist?
I've been an anarchist since I was 9 years old.
Oh, really? I mean, you know, like you read the books and all that?
Oh, my mom started me on it.
Yeah,
it's a family tradition.
How old are you now?
I am 40.
So 31 years.
31 years. Totally anarchist right here, people. But, you know, I mean, we sit there and everybody has their problems in life and their issues in life, you know, and they don't realize that 75% of the problems in their life is not from the lifestyle they're living. It's from the corporations and all the times that they should have voted, you know, no on a bill so they wouldn't pass.
Yeah.
You know, and it's for all the times that they didn't go down to the city council and stand up and say, hey, what the fuck is wrong with you people, you know? It's because there's a lot of moderates out there. There's very few activists.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's the real problem with American society today. They've gotten comfortable with how they're living. They're they're in their own little cubicle and their own little bubble in the world, and it's time for them to break the fuck out and take America back.
They will, because their bubble is being taken away from them. I mean, they'll all be living in San Lorenzo with the rest of you here in a few years after the Republicans win the election and screw up the economy even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not getting better, because they're not, I mean, they're using Keynesian economics by, you know, flooding all this money in the system, but Keynes said you're supposed to give it to a ditch digger to dig a, he'll dig a ditch, you can have him fill it up, and you're just getting the money into his hands. Doesn't matter about the dirt moving back and forth. But the money that they're pouring, they're going into bankers' hands, and that doesn't go to the poor guy that would spend it on something that would create a job for somebody else, that would create a job for so-and-so on and bring the economy back up. It goes to banks that just invest it in stuff that's already there. We already got too much stuff, and that's not going to the people that need it. There's all these empty houses, and there's people that are homeless that could easily get in those houses.
So many empty houses. It's crazy. All the people standing outside on the street.
And the houses are deteriorating because no one's in them. The windows are getting broken, and the value's going down, and that, you know, that just keeps the economy going further and further down and keeps up the rents for everybody else.
Well, America's being falsely advertised to death. Bank of America, believe it or not, the Bank of America over on Mission Road, and that's one of my next targets. They advertise that we'll give you $25 if you open up an account. But what they don't tell you is that you don't get that freaking $25 until after you've been there for 90 days and after they've collected $25 worth of fees and dues from you.
It's like those free money on the poker side.
Yeah,
you exactly. never really get it until you've been cheated out of all this other money.
It's just insane. I mean, and then, you know, you listen to all these great presidential wannabe potentials and all these candidates that make all these big promises, but nobody wants to talk about the Skull and Bone Society, or they don't want to talk about the Illuminati because they're too fucking scared.
That's who's running, the Bilderberg. They have a meeting every year that runs the world, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
And they've been there, like I said, thousands of years they've been doing this. They've got a program that they use different things at different times depending on the economy, and they end up with all the money, and we end up getting screwed.
They work through infiltration. They infiltrated the Freemasons and took over their system using their secrecy. They infiltrated the banking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, banking
all theirs.
That goes back to Babylon.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, they had all the checks and everything, and, you know, and then it kind of people lost it, and then the Knights Templar were digging under the temple in Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden we had international banking again. The Templars reintroduced it. They had these little card, you know, the ciphers on a card. You could hand it off to a Templar, and he'd say how much money you had. He'd change the code, and they'd take some money out, just like a credit card today. Same thing.
Yeah.
And they ended up with all the fucking money in Europe, and that's why the Templars got hassled, and they got, you know, put to death and stuff, but their money disappeared, and I think it reappeared in Switzerland, and there's those banks again fucking everybody over.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, because you get, you know, like the right-wing media is trying to, you know, really attack us, call a bunch of dirty hippies and
of
all.
Of course,
but, you know, even if you look at the hippies that are involved in our movement, they have some really wonderful points.
Love
like the occupation
people.
Itself.
Yeah.
Taking back our land and our world. You know, why so many people are so busy working like three different jobs to pay their bills. All these stupid laws that seem so minuscule, like don't ride your bike through the park, don't smoke on the bench, are getting passed. And it sounds so trivial, but it's like someone's getting tickets and ending up in jail because they're riding a bicycle through the park. It's time to take back our rights.
Absolutely.
On a broader basis.
You know, what I'd love to see is if, you know, maybe we get maybe 30,000 people come to Santa Cruz just for, you know, 60 days before the election, register, and then just take over to the fucking town and get just remove all those laws, you know, put a tax on corporations. They probably wouldn't let us. A city can't tax, like I said, a bank because it's considered a state affair, not a municipal affair.
No,
but we do have, this is a charter city. We could completely change the charter. We could fire Barisoni, the city manager, all these guys.
We need to do that.
Yeah, we absolutely need to do that.
You know, it'd be really nice to see other people from the other occupations come take a visit one weekend and, you know, put about 3,000 protesters in the middle of Santa Cruz, man. They wouldn't know what to do.
That's right.
You know.
But anyway, those 20 anarchists breaking the windows sent them all into a tizzy. Can you imagine what 3,000 people that they have no control? That's why they're shooting rubber bullets and stuff in Oakland right now. They're scared of that, too.
Well, you know, I really like what Marie Curie wrote when she talked about, you know, how the, you know, what people fear, they people only fear because they don't understand it. They don't want to take that moment or that one, they don't want to take time out long enough to try and understand, you know, mm-hmm. and fear really rules our society.
And it's, I mean, the media is always promoting it so that you put more trust in the people in charge because it's such a dangerous world. You don't know what to do about it. They do, so just trust them. Like Bush used that during the whole fucking Patriot Act crap, you know.
It just makes them look like assholes because rubber bullets is not going to stop this. Mm. You know, there's too many people.
It's going to draw more people. That's what, I mean, New York was just fading away. It was just a couple hundred people or something until the police started busting heads and then everybody saw it on the news and said, we're joining those people.
Look, they harassed San Francisco so much that they got in touch with the Lawyers Guild. And now they're so close with the lawyers that they've worked out a deal where they
can't
even touch them.
But see, New York and San Francisco and the kids that are getting beat up in Philadelphia, you know, Boston and all these other towns, man, they're all taking action. They're not, hey, well, I got this really great idea. I'm going to present it to you people. Then it's going to go to a workshop group because the General Committee, the General Assembly can't decide on it. You know,
it's everybody's too rowdy. Like, we don't want to mess with the cops. No.
Yeah, everybody's like, I mean, you know, this is what we're going to do.
Let's it's all done autonomously outside the GA.
Yeah, exactly. And then what people don't understand, too, and I really do want to point out, is that a lot of people going, well, aren't you guys supposed to be occupying? Aren't you guys supposed to be getting out there, man, and just really raising hell and reveling it up? And I'm like, yeah, but we got to build up our numbers first, you know.
Well, but the fact that you can close a bank with two or three people does mean you can send out 15 people and close down three banks.
Absolutely.
It costs them money. You're providing jobs. You're going to have to hire more security. You know?
Well, that's what I told one security guard the other day. He's like, you look so, and excuse my expression, he said, you look so gay just there by yourself. And I looked at him and I said, well, let me put it to you this way. As long as I'm here, you'll have a job. But before I leave this place, they're going to shut this bitch down and you're going to be out of work. And then tell me how it feels, you know?
And it's wonderful, too, to see the people walk by and they go, I love you guys, I'm just here to close my account. Get two or three of them every time.
Well, with that $75 trillion thing now ahead of your account, I mean, at B of A, I mean, I got money in B of A. I'm thinking of taking it out. I mean, I
you really
there cause
should.
Just because it's convenient. You know, the credit union's only a couple places, so I'm not going to change my life around. But now I'm thinking, yeah, your money's not safe in those.
No,
and if B of A goes under,
not.
Then all the rest of them are going to go under, too, because they're all interlocked with debts with each other and everything. So when one fails, they all fall. That's why they were so scared at the end of 2008.
So we're on a campaign right now, and our main campaign is that we want to see everybody pull their money out of the corporate banks that live here in Santa Cruz and the surrounding area. Everybody pull your money out of the corporate banks by November 5th. Put them in, credit unions or...
There's one on Front Street. Coral has one on Front Street. She goes to that bank a lot.
Yeah, and that's what we're encouraging. We want to see people quit supporting the corporate piracy, go open an account in a local bank or credit union, and have a good day, you know? Mm-hmm. and go home and feel reassured that... You know, if these corporations crash, which is what the aim of the Occupy is to crash a lot of corporations for the dirtiness that they've been doing to the American people, you know, at least you can go home and go, wow, I'm glad I moved my money just in time, you know? Right. It's like, oh my God!
And you know, because of the fractional reserve, you take $1,000 out, that means $10,000 of the bank's investments are now in jeopardy because they only have 10% cover in the rest of the money. So yeah, any little amount of money had a huge effect on the rest of the banking.
Oh yeah, because I can remember when the recession first started, and I had some friends that worked at Target, and That's like 30 of them, and they like freaking went into Target one day expecting to work, and they got sent home, and there was no prior notice, no warning about it. You know, 30 people just lost their job in a blink of an eye like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's at the hands of the corporation.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of layoffs up to like 2,000 for certain businesses.
Oh, postal workers about to lay off some people.
Oh yeah, the government jobs really are hurting.
Yeah, yeah, they're at the kind of the end of the economy. You know, first the market crashes, then the manufacturing goes, and then usually government jobs are usually losing when the economy is just starting to come back. Speaking of economy, since this is an economic protest, I'm wondering if there's any plans to create like a people's market there where you can, you know, sell stuff and to the tourists or whatever that come by and build some interest that way.
That's a hot idea.
Someone's making like bumper stickers. I mean, that's a start. And then there's going to be an artist and musician group that's going to start meeting. They might have, I don't know, they're planning on meeting very soon. They mm-hmm. might, I think they had their first meeting tonight.
Well, legally, you can sell, say, I mean, you can't sell a T-shirt with a political message on it because it still has a utilitarian value, but let's say a patch or a bumper sticker, which is almost entirely free speech, or a painting, or, you know, free expression. You can sell that, and you don't have to get a permit or any of that shit. There's been some cases decided on that. So that's the kind of thing you could be selling at the camp. They can't do anything about it. You know, a lot of tourists might come through there.
We got a guy that came over and he said, look, I've got all these bumper stickers, I really want to get rid of them so I can make more. So we were like, and he wanted $1 a piece, and I was like, And then the old cogwheels inside my skull started turning, and I'm like, you know what? Let us sell them for $2 a piece, because the dollar would go back to the guy who made the bumper stickers, mm-hmm. and then the dollar would go into the donations to help fund what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of supplies, you know, and
I'm not sure about, you might have to charge tax, too, to be legal, to the state.
Wait a minute.
Don't want to get the highway patrol in there messing with you.
No, we don't want to be too legal. Come on, now.
But that's why you're on two different jurisdictions. I'm always pushing the legal, if you can legally fucking be in their face, there's nothing they can do about it. The minute you go illegal, they just arrest you, and nobody's protesting the next day. But as long as you're legal and they don't like what you're doing, there's little they can do about it.
We got the sheriff's department that are, like, most cool, and they get on us about blocking the doorways, but other than that, man, it's just like...
Well, you're legal in the sheriff. Yeah. Other than those few that camp there, they're just doing it autonomously. That section's legal, and like I said, if you do get busted in the sleeping section, you can still occupy those steps unless they pass, you know, and closed after 10 law like they did at City Hall last year.
Well, they did this. The city cops have been, like, coming by and buzzing us, and they've been taking, like, photos. And
you could get tickets in the mail. They've done that before, you know. For people like, I think Wes Modes might have got a ticket in the mail for walking in a march. And I know Micah did when he did a bike protest. You know, they take your picture and send you a ticket in the mail.
The last time we
tickets
saw,
in the mail.
The last time we saw our mailbox, it was sitting under water. So I'd like to see him deliver it there, you know.
My friend would say, well, send it to 115 Coral Street. Right? I'll get it, crumple it up, throw it away.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, when they use these tickets against the homeless, they don't have money to pay for it, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Only if you're going to drive. I mean, they can stop you from getting a new license if you owe any infractions. So that's what they do in Santa Cruz. If you have an infraction, they just send it down to some company in L.A. or something, and it builds and builds, and you owe money forever. But as long as, you know, as long as you never make any money, if you're in the future and you don't have to drive, it's really no deterrence.
Did you know that most major American cities, and when it comes to homeless, if, like, the cops stop somebody who they think is homeless and they got, like, a $20 bill in their pocket, technically they're not homeless.
Oh.
Go figure that.
That's like the vagrancy stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not a vagrant as long as they have at least $20 in their pocket.
Well, that won't work here.
It back to the government.
Yeah.
Won't work here. If you got a blanket on after 11:30, you're committing a crime.
Oh, you're committing a crime even in the daytime if you got a blanket on you.
The real criminals,
it's after.
It's at night.
At night.
Well, it's during during the daytime too now.
It's in the daytime for us. They said they will consider us lodgers.
Because you have an intent to stay there overnight.
Yeah.
That's a different. That's the C section. There's like three sections. They actually catch you sleeping. If you have a blanket, it's the B one. And if you have an intent to stay up. So you always never have an intent to stay overnight. I'm just here for a little while.
The real criminals, though, are the people that are making these rules.
I mean,
the homeless have it hard enough anyway. Let them pitch a tent or at least snuggle up in a sleeping bag, you know, somewhere where they're safe and warm. Why would you criminalize somebody from sleeping?
Well, they don't give a shit about the poor. All they care about is people that bring money into this town that they can skim off of. You know, that's the idea that the government is there to help everyone. That's what they claim. But no, the minute you're poor, they'll hit you over the head with a trenchant to get rid of you or something. You know, they don't care about the poor.
I'll never understand how people can be. You know, that psychopathological.
It's not the people, it's the government. Yeah, it's the government. Yeah. Well, I guess it's some of the public, but and it's the business community. They don't want the panhandlers downtown.
No.
The main thing. It's the fascism. So, yeah, it's anything to get rid of the homeless.
So here's what I want everybody to do out there. At 3 p.m. and at 3 a.m., I want you guys to fucking crank up your radios, break out your DVD players, look through your CDs. And I want everybody to play Breaking the Law exactly 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. and show your support. Because technically that's what we're supposed to be doing is breaking the law. And we're 21 days into breaking the law.
Well, I mean, direct action has changed now. It's tactics. We don't break the law. We just do tactics.
Autonomously.
You know, you're not breaking the law with your bank stuff. And I still think that's one of the best protests going here. Because everybody hates the bank. I mean, that's like outreach, too. Everyone hates the bank. They see you there. You brought some pizzas into the camp the other day.
Because... It was funny because you see, like, saliva just dripping off the things of the security guards. They see a cop car, and they're like, oh, yeah, buddy.
You're done for now.
I can't wait to see this. And the cop just turns to, the cops go, oh, God, it's one of the protesters. I'm turning around. I'm out of here. You know, and the security guards get all dumbfounded, like, what?
Yeah, we even had a female officer drive by in her police car and honk her horn at us and go like, yeah.
Didn't you say the other day the police car came out of the drive-thru window and said they'd just taken all their money out?
She was like, well, the officer goes, hey, I just want you to know I took all your money out. And she goes, politically, I'm not supposed to support your cause, but she gave me two thumbs up and drove off. I was like, yeah.
It's like on a personal level, so many of them actually support us, but on a professional level,
in their role,
they're always going to be bullied into bullying.
They have
us.
To, yeah. That's why the police are the enemy. Even, I mean, if you can hassle a cop, you should always treat them like a person, but as a group. With another group,
basis.
They are. I mean, their role is to be our enemy.
I just hit it for the deputy chief police because they're really just the dogs. Like, they're just the service dogs of the 1%.
And then the only reason they're not coming after us is because their masters are keeping them on a tight leash because thousands of people could come to Santa Cruz and not leave.
And I say this, believe me, out of sarcasm, you know, when I say I feel kind of sorry for the deputy chief of police is because when things go awry and their best laid plans get thwarted about how they're going to bust us up and it doesn't go through, he's going to be the first one yelled at.
That's right. Well, when the anarchists broke the windows downtown May a year back, you know, the chief of police, you know, quit like a week or two later. He didn't want to face it. And he's getting 180 grand a year almost, you know. It's like he hit the lottery for doing nothing, you know.
Hey, Daddy,
at 51 or something, you know. He retires at 51. Meanwhile, everybody else is losing their job and wondering where the fucking next meal is going to come from.
And there's something else, too, that's really important to note is that there's all these people that are out there, right? And, like, we're out there, like, 24/7, you know, and we're broke. We're broke, but we're having a good time doing it, you know? It's like, I think, and it's not really... it's because we're so devoted to the cause, you know, because we've got 120 to 200 people right here in Santa Cruz that are just doing absolutely everything they can to see this Occupy Santa Cruz happen and make it last.
Mm-hmm. That's doing great, I think.
Yeah, it is.
People
it
don't
is.
Have to hurt alone anymore, feel lonely. Mm-hmm. It's like we're all together. We're all broke together. And, you know, we're strength. We're like family, and we're all having a good time.
Yeah, and we got the sign that says, you know, if you're about to be laid off, join us.
Mm-hmm.
If you've
been Sanctuary. Laid off,
join
sort of.
Us. If you're about to lose your home,
exactly.
Join us, you know. But, you know, and really it's just, you know, our hearts go out to the people because we're by the people, of the people, for the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not getting anything out of this, but, well, I'm kind of enjoying defying the cops right now and everybody else.
Well, you're on security. You know. I want to see cameras. I want to, you know, when the cops do, I want to have that all on film. I want to go to YouTube and see, you know, Inouye and Winston and Warren all looking stupid.
Well, I'll definitely do that. Well, you know, I keep thinking about Oakland, and I keep thinking about Philadelphia, and I keep thinking about all the people that are, like, they drive by and you know, like maybe 5 out of 35 cars are yelling insults.
And it isn't that much. Like I said, it's like 1 out of a couple hundred or so. It isn't that many insults. I mean, like, you're getting a lot of support compared to the insults.
Right. And I'm thinking about the stupidity behind the insults because they don't know about the kids that are getting their heads bashed in Philadelphia for standing up for their rights or.
Well, they think, great, you know, kill them, you know, they're part of the rabid, you know, the supporters of the 1%, you know, that feel if they behave that way, maybe one day they'll get into the 1% too, because they've you know, kept the cause of keeping the underclass down, you know.
No, but...
Or they're racist and bigots or something like that.
But violence really is never the answer, you know, and I'm not Gandhi, I don't promote peace, man, I believe in standing your ground and hitting if you get hit, you know, standing up like a man, but violence really isn't the answer, you know, we're looking at, you know, people that we're supposed to entrust to protect and service, like, you know, that's what the police motto is, to protect and to serve, and when they're bashing a kid's skull in for holding a sign and saying, hey, we want our rights back, it kind of makes me wonder, really, what's happening to our government.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, getting all these insults and these slams by all these other talk show radio hosts and the newspapers and stuff. I mean, it's like, screw you, buddy. That's my message. Screw you, because you're not out here with us. You're sitting, occupying some little cubicle, speaking into a microphone, and... Personally, I need to mail you some toilet paper to wipe your mouth from all that shit you're talking, because you're not out here you're not out on the front lines. You're not going to the people and saying, hey, what's your story, man? Why are you out here?
Mm-hmm.
Because we got people that just recently lost their homes because of mortgages. We got people that never had a home. They don't care. They're just like, yeah, join the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got retirees, we've got school teachers that are about to lose their job or they're losing some kind of benefit. We got nurses backing us up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
growing.
Yeah.
And I've also heard there's some talk about hooking all the Occupies together on the internet into one gigantic grand assembly. Then we'd have a national alternative government.
There is a plan for that in works, as a matter of fact, now. And I repeat this one more time, because I don't want anybody to misconstrue it. I am not the official representative. I am just a member of the Occupy.
Mm-hmm. There is no official representative.
No, but they have to understand that... they just had their very first intercommunication teleconference last night.
Yeah, it was like 20 of them or something.
It was freaking cool from what I understand. And I am so sorry I missed that. But
There's going to be more of those, I think.
There's going
to
be more.
That's
of
how
that.
It's going to really grow. Because to me, I was first thinking we could attract more people and just get a whole bunch of people in one area. But it sounds like everybody in the, you know, first there was like 85 towns. And Chris told me he went and got the email addresses of 700. And now I hear there's like 1,400 Occupies in the country. And it's just grown. Because everybody, you know, it's it's their town, it's their land, and they're going to do it on their own land, you know, in their own town, and stand up against. So this is huge.
Absolutely, and you're not going to be able to stop it anytime soon. I can guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if they keep foreclosing, it'll be your numbers will grow. They'll have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Well, I can jump on tribe.net and grab a whole bunch of my friends and get them down here, too, and that would be chaos and anarchy at its finest. So, like, if you're sitting at your home tonight and you're, like, listening to this off your laptop, or tomorrow when you come across this message, I want the American people to realize that, you know, if you're too scared to do something, that's okay. We'll do it for you. We'll stand up for you. But really, you know, we've taken a lot of heavy hit criticism by Bill Clinton. We've taken a lot of criticism by a lot of the different talk show hosts and stuff. And yeah,
fuck them. I mean, it's because you're taking power away from them, and they're feeling it drain away. They're scared.
I just want people to understand, you know, that yeah. Some of us have beards and some of us don't have clean clothes because we've been occupying. We're out there making our presence felt, and, you know, unless you're really there, you really can't say anything too critical about it, you know. I don't care who you are.
Well, yeah, if you want to see some critical, come down, you know, put it on the agenda board and see how it flies at the GA.
All you shit talkers out there, man, come meet us down on Water Street at the county courthouse on the steps, and then tell it to our face what you think.
Don't come running through at night with tweakers. We have enough of that.
I got a whole pack of tweakers I could probably sick on you, too, if you look good enough. You know, Santa Cruz, the community here has just been absolutely great. You know, we've got people that will come by at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning on spurts and say, "Hey, bought you guys some coffee and donuts." Or we got people that come by at noon and go, "I was just thinking about all you guys, so I brought you some lunch." You know, and then at dinner we've got a few ladies that are getting together and they're actually bringing meals into us at night. But we're trying to get a little bit more organized with the meal thing. We got Brandy, who does such a wonderful job in the kitchen, and
I heard you have a whole lot of produce there now and a lot of bread. So what you probably need is like beans and protein or something.
Protein, meats, maybe like.
There's a lot of vegans
foods
here, though. So I mean, there's a need for some vegans, vegetarian food and
tofu.
Vegan food. Yeah.
Well, we're currently right now. We're probably at if I had to really guess, I would say 40% vegan, 60% carnivores. Mm.
You know. I saw like a deer's leg there one day. You know? Where'd that come from? Is that legal? Is it deer season right now?
We cooked it up and made deer vegetable stew with it.
Well, we like to humor each other around there. We say after we're done eating the politicians and the lawyers and the corporations, we might eat the vegans next.
Well, I do think cannibal warrior is in our future, you know, with the greenhouse effect destroying all the crops, but we'll have to see.
Well, yeah.
But the rich are, they're probably nice and tasty since they've been eating so well off us for so long.
Well, vegan or not, we still have an open invitation to join us if you want to, you know.
There's food for everyone. I mean,
there's food for everybody, but getting back
to... Brandy always cooks some vegan and some non-vegan. Like today, somebody brought a tofu stir fry, and then... I don't know if Santa Cruz has a Food Not Bombs, but they've been helping out on a lot of the occupations. They're a vegan-based
sort of
food group.
Casey started it up, so it disappeared for a while. Casey started up for once, and then he hooked up with the people at Max, how the anarchists were doing it regular, and now they're there. I mean, Casey's, that's why he's in the food group and down there in the camp and stuff, because he was part of Food Not Bombs.
You know, Casey and Bishop, and I could just start naming more names, but I really don't think I should. Just wonderful group. What a great group. I mean, it's funny sometimes. You sit there and you look around and it's like, holy shit, man. before this, I had nothing absolutely in common with this person sitting next to me.
Yeah, it's a nice place to meet people.
Yeah, so it was like suddenly you got everything in common with them, you know?
Yeah. And, someone that you might think was totally obnoxious outside of this is like, y'all living together, everyone's getting along, working on, you know, striving towards that, and you end up like finding like, it's like family. You don't have to everybody in your family, but you all care about each other. You're all standing together.
We're not totally against business owners. I mean, we've got a couple of small business owners and larger business owners in our midst, you know, and we don't dog them, you know.
Well, that's what I like about this movement. I mean, you're using essentially people's democracy. There's a lot of anarchists there that they feel that they're using anarchy, and they're being quiet about it when people call it democracy, but they feel it's anarchism. But what it is, it's different than, like, I've tried to get into some anarchist meetings, and they're all closed here. They're kind of a monoculture. It's easier to get consensus if you all have the same culture and ideology and stuff. Whereas this, you've got soccer moms, you've got the anarchist radicals, you've got all kinds of people that are coming together, and they are getting consensus on getting things done. So to me, this is how revolution works. I mean, it doesn't stop at your doorway. You can't just keep your revolution in your house. You have to open it up to the whole world. Yeah, and that's what's happening now.
Absolutely.
On that note, we're running over a little for Small World Radio, but we've had Dennis and Erica here tonight from Occupy Santa Cruz. You can come down and see him at the camp.
Absolutely. Occupy, keep on
Occupy
keeping on.
Occupy Santa Cruz. Thanks for being on.
Right on. Thank you. Thank
this
you for having us.
October 25th, 2011.
Right on.
10% too. You know, they're, you know, you ask like the police, the private security guards out there whose job it typically is to oppress people, you know, the line is like, oh, sorry, I'm just doing my job. You know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to beat you up. I don't want to kick you off your, you know,
This is Sun Thunder with Small World Radio. We're here at the Occupation in San Francisco, October 15th, 2011.